Support for this broadcast of Two Rivers 30 Minutes comes in part from a grant from Striffler's Family Funeral Homes.
From TubeCityOnline.com, this is Two Rivers 30 Minutes, a weekly series of interviews with people making news around the McKeesport area. Produced by Tube City Community Media Incorporated, a nonprofit corporation. I'm Jason Toger, the executive director. On this show, we talk one-on-one with elected officials, community leaders, and others who are trying to make a difference in the Monongahela area. And we also take your questions and comments on Facebook and Twitter at Tube City Online.
When you want something done, ask a busy person, and I think that qualifies with our guest this morning. Dr. Tamara Allen-Thomas is superintendent of the Clareton City School District, but she is also on the school board at Woodland Hills School District. She is a native of Pittsburgh, graduate Edinburgh University and Carnegie Mellon University, and got her doctorate from Point Park University. Lots going on in the Clareton City School District, including a new stadium. Good morning, Dr. Allen-Thomas.
Good morning, yes.
Tell us, first of all, because that's kind of the big news right now, but I know there's a lot of things. It's the start of the school year, and I want to ask you about that. But tell us about Tyler Boyd Stadium Phase 1.
So we are really excited about the idea that we in Clareton can have something that has been long time waiting. We have been honored to have many great scholars, athletes come through our doors here at Clareton. However, Tyler Boyd stood out as a scholar athlete and represents what we want to share with our future scholars as they come through our doors, that you have to be a scholar first before you are on the field. And so he represents that. And we are excited to be able to name the stadium after him. But again, this is a community learning hub. It's bigger than just a stadium. It's about bringing our community together. It's about bringing children together to be able to come as a safe place for all those who are in our community.
Tyler Boyd is a wide receiver for the Cincinnati Bengals, went to the University of Pittsburgh, I believe was drafted in 2016, and is, what would he be, class, Clareton, 2007, 2008?
He was 2013 graduate.
Thank you. Okay. My math was very bad.
That's okay. 2013 graduate. But one of the things that we recognize that although football is, you know, part of Clareton's DNA, but guess what else is part of our DNA? Resilience, leadership, and pride. And that's what this facility will mean for us. And that's who Tyler Boyd is. So it's a great honor to be able to name it after someone with so many characteristics that we want to see in our future scholars.
Give us the website, first of all, for Clareton School District, if people want to get more information about the school district or the community or about yourself.
Yes, CCSDBears.org.
Tamara Allen-Thomas is superintendent of Clareton City School District. That's what we're talking about, but our entree to this is the new stadium, phase one of the new stadium and learning center that opened there in Clareton. Talk about, first of all, the school district itself. Describe the Clareton community. Unfortunately, for better or for worse, it made world news here with the tragic incident that happened down there at the U.S. Steel plant a couple of weeks ago, but so much more going on in Clareton than just that.
Right. And I'm glad you brought that up because we grieve with the families of the men who lost their lives and we continue to pray for recovery and even those who were injured. We know that when something like this happens, this is when resilience can be absolutely seen. And so with that, we also recognize that community like Clareton, we serve approximately 876 students. We are a K-12 district that has 100% free and reduced lunch, and we have an average median income of $30,000. And so when you look at a community such as Clareton, and when you look at something like a budget, and I know that we may not be about this, but we can't help but to mention that budget impasse definitely impacts us. And so not only are we talking about our day-to-day expenses, and when we're talking about a stadium, we recognize that this cannot be done without the help and support of those who can contribute to this financial decision that we've made to make sure that our scholars have an opportunity to have what we call our learning hub. Again, all year round, where they can write college essays, they can have strength in their math skills. This is a place where dreams really can be shaped. And so we're looking at each contribution being an investment into a scholar.
Let me jump back, Dr. Alan Thomas, because you mentioned those median income figures for Clareton. I think you said $30,000 roughly is the median income. And just to put that in context and perspective for folks, both nationally and statewide, the median income is about $39,000 or $40,000. So folks in Clareton, and you said 100% of the students are eligible for free or reduced student lunches. So a very tightly knit community, a very resilient community, but a community that has had its challenges and it continues to have its struggles is what it seems like to me.
Correct. And we just really strongly believe that no matter a student's zip code, we have to make sure that they have access and opportunity. And so when you look at some of our neighboring districts that are, you know, operating on budgets that are $100+ million, I mean, it's very challenging. So we have, again, that resilience. We've had to learn to work with less, but we don't give up and we don't make excuses. We make it happen. And we can't make this happen without the support of our supporters in the community and even outside our community. Our alumni, we just had an alumni event. And again, that rings true, is that Clareton is a community, but it's a home to many.
Let me play devil's advocate for a minute, because I can hear someone out there in the audience right now maybe listening to this and saying, well, all this is well and good, but why did we start out talking about football? Why did we start out talking about a new athletic facility? What do these sports teams represent in terms of rallying points or moments that bring the community together? Talk about Friday night in Clareton, especially now that you have the new stadium.
Well, one of the things that I'd like to really highlight is we have three A's that we represent here at Clareton, and that is academics first, attendance, and attitude. And on a Friday night, you will hear me say, what's our focus? To the football team. And you will hear them resoundingly say academics. And so what it does is it brings a community together on a vision that we have in the district about academics, attendance, and attitude. And we know that students who are involved in sports and enrichment activities are more engaged in school. They're less likely to face disciplinary issues and more likely to graduate ready for what's next. So we recognize this as an extension of what we believe and what we would like to see. And again, as I stated earlier, access and opportunity is important. We know that everyone may not be a Tyler Boyd, but anyone who chooses to be great, they can be, because they have the strong foundation of academics.
We have a break coming up in a couple of minutes here. But before that, I want to sort of close the loop on this conversation. The stadium, now Tyler Boyd Stadium, is a reconstruction of the existing athletic field. What all was part of phase one of this project?
Phase one was let me just say thank you to a wonderful board of directors that were very instrumental in making sure that this happened. And if I begin to name names, I'm going to forget someone. So that includes all of our 9 board members.
Okay.
It includes our city, our mayor, our community, our city councilmen, our staff, my principals, my AD. Most important, I don't want to say most importantly, but who was really instrumental additionally was our maintenance team. I mean, they were instrumental in working alongside. We've also worked with project managers, a host of people. Again, this was not a one person show. This was a community effort for the community.
And phase one is new
the
lighting.
Stadium.
Yeah. New lighting, new press box,
yes.
new grandstand. I'm assuming accessibility was a priority here. And I'm assuming also that energy efficiency, for instance, was a priority.
It is a priority. And us being a solar focused school, moving in that direction, mm-hmm. we want to be very conscientious of the newest efficient ways to make sure that the stadium would encompass that. So exactly right. It's the turf that we have. It's the walking track that we have now. It's our new bleachers that can hold 1,300 individuals. Our press box, like you mentioned, our lighting, our scoreboard. And that's why that's only phase one. Phase two, again, mm-hmm. I know we're going to go on a break, so I don't know if you want to talk about
that. No, get into phase two, because it's equally exciting, I think. It really integrates those three A's that you talked about, especially the academic one.
Phase two is where we're looking at our field house that'll be filled with classroom spaces, meeting spaces, state-of-the-art weight room. And so we want to make sure that in this space, that the students will see that we're investing in their academics. We talk about it, but now there will be an actual space where leadership development can happen. It's where essays can be written. It's when we bring in college recruiters, college admissions officers. It is also the place where our scholars K through 12 could utilize this same space. So it's not just for our athletes, but it's for all students, whether you're an athlete or you want to be an astronaut. You will be able to utilize the space. We want our staff to be able to say, hey, here's a space that we could utilize to talk about, you know, college, career, and readiness, period.
We're going to take a break right there. When we come back, I want to ask you about your personal journey. You've had a remarkable career, including some involvement in some very interesting aspects of education that I want to ask you about, okay?
All right, thank you.
From the Tube City Center for Business and Innovation in downtown McKeesport, this is Two Rivers 30 Minutes. We'll be right back.
Support for this broadcast comes from the City of McKeesport Fair Housing Office. Fair housing is your right, and the Fair Housing Act prohibits discrimination in housing because of race, color, national origin, religion, sex, gender identity, sexual orientation, family status, or disability. That includes renting or buying a home, getting a mortgage, seeking housing assistance, or engaging in other housing-related activities. For more information about Fair Housing Act protections in the City of McKeesport, call 412-675-5020, extension 635.
Talk a little bit about your journey, because you have experience with Pittsburgh Public Schools. You have experience, I believe, with a charter school in Penn Hills you had been at. And then I saw a story. This is why I said, when you need something done, ask a busy person. You are on the state board, I believe, for an organization that is looking to reduce and prevent child abuse. Talk a little bit about your journey here. You grew up in Pittsburgh. What part?
I grew up in East Liberty, the Larmer Avenue, which has been revitalized at this point. I drove past and did not see my former house, but I see grassland. So there is changes happening, some good things happening. But I grew up there. I went to Larmer Elementary. I then moved to Los Angeles, California, where I spent 8 years all the way through ninth grade, and came back and graduated from Westinghouse High School here in Pittsburgh.
That must have been a little bit of a culture shock. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but that to come from LA as a teenager and then back to Pittsburgh, a little bit of a culture shock?
It was not a little bit. It was a lot.
Okay.
I must admit. And then another culture shock was I had the opportunity to travel to Brazil as an exchange student in 11th grade. So attending, being there, that was another culture shock, but it really helped shape who I am today. And as a leader, as an advocate for education and for the equality for all people, is because of what I've seen in all various aspects. Coming from California, you know that it's very eclectic. And so when my best friend was Asian, I lived next to a person who was Caucasian, Spanish, all on one. We lived in an apartment complex. And here, when you're looking at Pittsburgh, it is very segregated. And it was apparent when I came here that there were schools for Black people and schools for white people. And although it was never spoken, it was visible. And so I felt like, again, education was going to be the conduit that I would have to use to be able to make sure that all students had access and opportunity, because it should not be based on your zip code.
I believe I read somewhere that your thesis research for your doctorate was on representation and intersectionality. Did I remember that correctly?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. In those spaces, yes.
Tamara Allen Thomas is superintendent of the Clareton City School District. I was giving the wrong website address, ccsdbears.org, Clareton City School District Bears.org. When did you decide that education was your vocation, for that to be your career path?
When I was 7 years old.
Okay.
I told my mom I wanted to be a teacher of teachers, and she will verify. 7 years old, I said, Mom, I want to be a teacher of teachers. I did not know that that meant superintendent. I did not know that that would take me in the journey that I have, but here I am today, sitting as a superintendent.
Graduated from Westinghouse, went on to Edinburgh.
Yes.
And then I believe Carnegie Mellon and Point Park.
Yes, yes. And that was a journey in itself, because it wasn't a fast track. It was a track built with experience in my public school and the charter school that helped shape, again, looking at the inequities that exist based on, again, haves and have nots. And so, again, that whole journey led me to, I believe, to be the superintendent that I am today that supports all children, no matter where you come from, no matter what you believe. It's to give every child the opportunity to know that they're cared for, loved, and to be able to reach their full potential.
Dr. Tamara Allen-Thomas is superintendent of Clareton City School District, and that's really where I want to focus. But I feel like I would be remiss in not asking about life on the other side of the board table, so to speak. How does the education job differ from being the superintendent, where you work for the board and for the taxpayers, as opposed to being on the board over in the Woodland Hills School District? How does that shape your perspective in both of those roles?
It has definitely given me perspective in how we have to be champions for children, no matter what side we sit on, and that when we're making decisions, we keep our children in the forefront of every decision. So that has not changed. What changes is that you now are governing, you're looking at policy, you are not managing the school. That's what you have your superintendents to be able to lead and guide the district. We're here to advise in those protocols. So that is the difference, is that you act as an advisor, as a school board member.
You have been at Clareton since 2022, I believe.
Yes.
What attracted you to that job in the first place? I think it was Superintendent Jenny Hunt was retiring. What made it an interesting position for you?
Two parts, because one is that coming from Point Park, one of the things that our professors try to do is to make us aware of opportunities. And one of my professors made us aware of the opportunity. And I'm one of those people that, just like you said, if it looks like it's work, I want to get in. I roll up my sleeves, I put my pay, I get my shoes on, and I'm ready to go. And so when I read about Clareton, when I drove through Clareton, was the point in which I said, this is where I'm supposed to be. Because when I entered, the first thing I saw was City of Prayer. And I believe prayer is key. And so when I saw that, and then I saw the abandoned buildings, I saw the boarded up places, I saw that there was not a restaurant, I said, this is opportunity. Our students could own businesses right here, because I look at every opportunity as an opportunity, every disadvantage as an opportunity. So what someone might see as a desolate place, I saw a place that could be revitalized, and it could be revitalized by the people who live here. That's what I saw, and I was drawn to that.
In addition to school leader and elected official, you also wear this hat of a parent. You are a mom. Are they on your mind sometimes when you're dealing with a local problem in Clareton, thinking, gee, what would I do if these were my kids?
Before I had children, I always thought of children as my children. Mm-hmm. And so I have an 18-year-old and a 15-year-old. And so my 18-year-old just went off to college this year. My 15-year-old, thank you. My 15-year-old attends pretty much all of our events here at Clareton, because it is, and as well as my husband, because we don't look at this as just my job. This is all of our job. And everything that I embark upon, I ask the family. I don't just, you know, although I'm busy, I go, hey, guys, can we do this? Hey, can we get our dissertation? Can we be on the board? It's not I, it's can we? Because that means there's some sacrifices. I have an amazing husband that, you know, when I'm having to be at a board meeting, he's helping out at home. My children being at places where they can be, it's important to see the work. You know, my son, I have to tell you this. My son said, Mom, you should write a book. And I said, no, son, you should write a book about me, because we should live and see what happens in my day-to-day life. Okay. And so, you know, one of the greatest joys is my children and them to be able to see that, you know, my true passion and love. My son posted something on Instagram about me that my daughter shared with me, and kind of talked about this. He said, I wish I could have as much passion as this woman does here for what she does. That is what we want. Every encounter that we have with children is that they become better versions of us. And so I am very grateful that I can model before them. The way I live at home is the way I come to work. They don't have to see two different people.
It's a pretty ringing endorsement from someone who would know you best. We have a pause to take right there. When we come back, I want to ask you about what your goals are for the Clareton City School District and what you wish people knew about Clareton and about the school district, okay?
Yes.
Dr. Tamara Allen-Thomas is superintendent of Clareton City School District. They are celebrating the opening of phase one of the new Tyler Boyd Stadium. Broadcasting from the Tube City Center for Business and Innovation in downtown McKeesport, this is Two Rivers 30 Minutes, and we'll be back in 30 seconds to wrap things up.
Support for this broadcast comes from Striffler's Family Funeral Homes. Since 1866, Striffler's has provided compassionate, professional memorial services for families in White Oak, McKeesport, Dravosburg, Portview, and the surrounding areas. Striffler's offers comprehensive pre-planning services and aftercare. And through its affiliated company, Design Monuments, Striffler's also provides permanent markers and memorials crafted in stone, bronze, and other high-quality materials. Learn more at strifflers.com or call 412-678-6191.
Talking this morning about the Clairton City School District, which just celebrated the opening of phase one of the new Tyler Boyd Stadium, named for one of the best known graduates of the Clairton School District, Tyler Boyd, who plays for the Cincinnati Bengals. I was working in Clairton when the Bengals were in the Super Bowl. The enthusiasm was just absolutely off the charts. I never thought I would be in Pittsburgh and see so many people cheering for Cincinnati, but there we were. Has the Boyd family remained involved with the stadium? Have they been following the progress and everything?
Yes, I think that you may or may not know this, that he coached his camp here past year. So he's definitely been a partner, not just in face, but indeed as well. So we appreciate that relationship.
What do you wish people knew about the Clairton City School District? You said when you visited town for the first time, you were excited by the possibilities. And one of the possibilities you saw is that there are opportunities for entrepreneurship in the community. What are some things that you wish people knew?
I wish they knew that the community of Clairton is a place where people, they depend on one another, where resilience, again, you'll hear me say this often, is resilience, 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 pride, in leadership. You will see those three resounding here in this community. And what I'd like to also highlight is that our children have dreams, aspirations, they're great, and they are going to be impacting this world in ways that we can't imagine, as long as we are providing them with those same opportunities and access so that they can reach their dreams.
This the million-dollar question that gets asked in communities all up and down the Mon Valley, how do you get them back after college? How do you get them to put down roots? Because I know, having grown up in McKeesport, I'm one of the few people from my graduating class that is still in the area. They have, because no one's around here anymore. So how do you get them to come back, hopefully after they go to college or after they go to a technical school, and maybe start that business up in Clairton or in the surrounding area?
That is a conversation that I had at the end of the last school year with my guidance counselor. And I specifically asked, how are we following up with our scholars once they go on? And not just when they graduate, but through the process. Part of the where I am today is because someone stuck with me. It wasn't just, you know, send you off to college, good luck, hope you're well. No, it was the follow through and the mentorship that it continued to occur. And we are so honored and blessed to have what is Penn State Talent Search, which is a program that follows our students through their process, along with Will Allen Foundation, Eden Hall Foundation, that have been very great and good partners to us.
We haven't even really talked about the Clairton Huddle, for instance, or about the what's the village that comes and welcomes kids back to school. Yes.
But you see, it comes up because it's part of that village that allows us to keep in contact with those scholars. So I inquired that not only are we able to see where they are, but when they're finished, we take a serious interest in what their fields of studies are. One of the things that is great about Clairton is about 50% of our staff graduated from here, went to school here, so they come back. So that's just in our teaching staff that we have people that come back. But we also want to make sure, like you said, how do they come back to the community? Well, that's a partnership that we have to continue to build within our city government to make sure that we have opportunity within the city to make that happen. And that has been a direct interest of mine, is to continue to build those relationships. My goal is to meet at least quarterly with the city council meetings to make sure that our goals and their goals are aligning, and that we can support one another to make sure that Clairton can be that vibrant place that it once was. But I want to focus on students and student perspective and student voice. I have what's called the Superintendent Advisory Group, that I have students from middle and high school that help shape the vision for our school. So I don't do this alone. What you see at Claritin is because of our scholars. They wanted more artwork. So I found an artist, and that's why they did a mosaic. The outside of our building, we just got these new banners because they said, it looks like a prison, Dr. Allen Thomas. They said they didn't like our bathrooms because they were green. So I worked with U.S. Steel. They got our bathrooms painted. I had moms come in and do mirrors and decorate them and put positive sayings. This is my other students also said things like, we need more AP courses. So we got more AP courses. So it is about being able to hear from our most important constituents, which are our children. And so that has been my passion, is to be able to hear more from them. And some of the trauma that they face as young people is heartbreaking. And that's why we partner with Allegheny Health Network and Wesley to be able to provide. We have a chill room through Allegheny Health Network to give our students the skills to be able to navigate that trauma and to be able to be successful individuals. Because how many times have you gone somewhere and you could tell someone's having a bad day? We should know that everyone's having a bad day, right? You should be able to have those skills and be able to walk away, squeeze the ball, something. But again, that's what we're doing on the back end, is also providing those supports to our students. And so hearing from them, it's remarkable. I just wish people get to hear, you know, you talked about what I wish is that people really hear from our students about how resilient they truly are, like their stories, not me telling their story, but them telling their own story.
Let me ask, you described yourself, one of your roles as being a teacher of teachers, that's what you had told your mom you wanted to be when you were back when you were seven.
Yes.
My dad was a teacher, taught secondary math for 27 years, and I know there were times when he got discouraged. When your teachers get discouraged, when you get discouraged, when your paraprofessionals get discouraged, how do you rally them? What do you do? When your students, how do you buck them up? How do you rally them?
I go down to kindergarten.
Okay.
I go down and I say, hi, everyone, and then the love flows. Their faces full of excitement and interest and love for learning. That reminds me of why I'm here. So seeing their young faces and their hope and aspirations for life encourages me to say, this is why we do what we do. And so the same thing happens when it comes to the beginning of the school year. I have quotes that I get from our students all throughout the year. We recognize our staff for comments that the students have made about them and how they've impacted their lives. So reminding them of their why. I start every year with an activity about the why. Why are we in education? And then I send it back to them in January. So they write their own self letter to why they're here. And then around January, when we start getting low and it starts getting like, what are we doing? It's the winter is set in. That's a quick one way of that we remind each other why we're here.
Let's close up by circling back to where we started. And that is phase one of Tyler Boyd Stadium is now open. What is it going to take to get phase two completed?
It's going to take approximately $4 million to get phase two. That's that field house. It's going to be our bathroom facilities. It's going to be our new concession stand, a new front entrance. So that is where we stand today. But again, the longer it takes, we know that the dollar amounts of things can go up. So we say bring it all. We don't have a cap, because guess what? If it's not at the stadium, it could be somewhere else within the district that will help our scholars be the best versions of themselves.
Tamara Allen Thomas is superintendent of Claritin City School District, ccsdbears.org. The only thing I wish for you is that you guys had won the opener. That's all. Golly.
Do you know it's a 3A team against a 1A team?
Yeah.
We won our first game, though, that was in our division.
Dr. Allen Thomas, thank you so much for taking some time to talk with us this morning.
Thank you for allowing me to have this opportunity. I appreciate it.
And thank you all for listening this week to Two Rivers 30 Minutes, broadcasting from the Tube City Center for Business and Innovation in downtown McKeesport. So long.
You've been listening to Two Rivers 30 Minutes, copyright Tube City Community Media Incorporated. Opinions expressed on this program are not those of Tube City Community Media Incorporated. Listener support makes this program possible. If you'd like to make a tax-deductible contribution, please visit our website at tubecityonline.com and click on the donate link. You can also get a free subscription to this program and other podcasts at our website using Apple's iTunes or Stitcher.com. If you've got a question or comment, we hope you'll write to us. Our address is Tube City Community Media Incorporated, P.O. Box 94, McKeesport, PA, 15134. You can email us at tubecitytiger@gmail.com or call us at area code 412-614-9659. And you can find us on Facebook and Twitter at Tube City Online.